Well, hey, good morning, everybody. We're welcoming you to day 5 and 6 to make this your best year ever. The proven 7-step system to turn your resolutions into, drumroll please, actual results. So that when you get to the end of the year, you're like, wow, something written on paper can actually come to life. I mean, I can speak this stuff out. I can decree a thing and see it established. That I can make a plan and walk it out. That with God's help, I can make changes. I can change how I show up and how I live my life. This is so cool. Who knew? We thought resolutions were just something that you wrote on a piece of paper, looked at, and forgot until the next year when you did that. So we're learning a new thing. This is really cool. And I think everyone's having fun. This class is going so amazingly well. And I praise God because it's all Him. It is all 100% the Holy Spirit. And because God loves you so much. That's why. It's because He loves you. That's why He's doing this. So let's pray. So Holy Spirit, thank You. You've been so faithful and You've been so present. And we really need You. We really need You today to meet with us here and to move us forward and to keep the momentum going. I thank You so much for the testimonies, because that's how we overcome, and that's how we find the courage to keep believing. We find the courage to keep believing when we see, wow, this really works. Look at that testimony over there. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that every word I speak today is from the Holy Spirit. And I bind any part of Donna that wants to creep in and have an opinion, because, you know, I'm from New Jersey and I just want to have an opinion and no one needs my opinion. I really just want this hour to be You. I just want to be Your vessel. While You let me get out, you know, as they say, let me get out of the way. Let me just be Your vessel. Would you speak through me today to Your people? Because You love them. And there's a powerful call on each of their lives. Everybody is special. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has a talent. Everybody has a call. There's no such thing as a child of God that's like, oops, ow, toe talk, as my teenagers say. Totally awkward. I forgot to give that child a gift. No. There's no toe talk in heaven. I mean, God, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and God knit you together in your mother's womb, and He gave you gifts and spiritual gifts, practical gifts and spiritual gifts and talents and potential. And now your part, and this I think is where maybe nobody ever told you this, because we don't hear it, I don't think, maybe enough in the church. Then you have to turn it into a skill. Aha. Maybe we have a light bulb moment already. My mom always used to say that, what your gifts are a gift from God, but what you do with them is your gift for God. Or so I probably botched it. You know, like any young girl, I tuned my mom out a lot. And then after she died, I was like, wow, she was pretty much right about everything she said. Maybe I should have listened a little more. But I mean, really, God has given you have all the raw materials. And we're going to get to Nehemiah. Somebody asked me the other day, are we going to study the Bible? Yes, we need to get these 7 steps and then we're going to really dig in and just have a great time with Nehemiah. I wrote an inductive Bible study on the book of Nehemiah, and we'll be diving into that and other examples from scripture. But this is a prayer, by the way. I always forget. Yeah, those of you who know me, those of you who are new are like, I don't know, is she praying? Is she teaching? Is this part of the outline? I don't know what's going on over there. But God has given every one of you the raw material and the building blocks and things of beauty and things of, you know, that are practical. And now you need to assemble those and develop skill in using those things so that you can create something of lasting beauty and value for the kingdom of God. I mean, if you think about, you know, God's people in the desert, they just left slavery. You're like, what do slaves have? Well, they plundered the Egyptians. God gave them favor and they plundered the Egyptians. And so they had these raw materials. And because they weren't used to having wealth, what did they do? They threw it all away. They threw all the gold into a melting pot and turned it into a calf. They weren't used to having money. They didn't know what to do. They squandered it. They squandered what God gave them.
Yeah.
And did God say, well, that's it. You know, I gave you some resources. You squandered those. That's it. You're done. You're finished. I'm not going to give you anything else. No. Somehow they had resources. You know, somehow they had more resources made available to them. And they built that amazing, these former slaves built that amazing, go read it, tabernacle. And then the temple and the city. So God is always giving you, and you're like, oh, well, you know, God gave me talents and I didn't really use them. So I guess I'll just, you know, that's it for me. No, there's always new mercies. There's always new opportunities. There's always new resources. So we begin again. That's why we have a new year. Like, well, you know, last year, I really think I may have built a golden calf over there to Dancing with the Stars. I think I took all my time and dumped it into a big pot and out popped my addiction to Dancing with the Stars. It's okay. So we ask his forgiveness. We ask for another chance and a new start and we move forward. Right? God can still build something beautiful right in the middle of our desert. So just be encouraged, be encouraged. God, I thank you that today you're going to lead your children forward. And we've gotten rid of the idea that some of them don't have talents and gifts and resources, because they all do. And I thank you for those who are starting to use them. I see artwork emerging. I see music emerging. I see writing emerging. Lots of great stuff. Lots of great stuff. And I want to ask you, you know, to open their eyes to see the resources that you have provided and the building blocks and the raw materials, to really look around them and see what the provision is that they can begin to build this new life with. And just open their eyes, because it's there. The resources are there. If you could provide resources for slaves in the middle of the desert, I think you can provide for all of us, because you are a provider. It's not something you do, it's who you are. And we thank you, God, that you are a provider, that you, Holy Spirit, that you are our counselor, that you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I ask today that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would be heavy upon me, and that I would be able to teach directly from your heart for your people. Customize it to each one. Well, amen. Thus concludes the prayer. I know some of you are like, is that prayer ever over? What's up with that woman? Okay, here we go. I told you, that's my thing. Remember to ask, why is this just perfect? God is testing me on all this stuff, I just have to say. And then your new question. Like my old question was, what's wrong? Can you just hear on the main, what's wrong with that girl? I don't know what. My new question is, you know, what's good about? What's right about? You know, what's good about this? What's good about? Yeah. So whatever your new question is, practice asking it. And here's a tip, and I forgot to give you this. It's a really good one. Write your new question or write your goal for the day, whatever it is. Put it into an alarm. Go onto your phone and set an alarm for once, even like once a day at some time, whatever time you want. Doesn't have to be first thing in the morning. It lets you label the alarm. I know my iPhone does, and I'm sure droids are the same way. So label that alarm. Why is this just perfect? Or label that alarm. Did you take your walk yet? Label the alarm with whatever you want to be reminded of. And I'm not sure who it was. One of these personal development gurus I was listening to says he has three of them. I think it was Brendan Burchard. Three times a day. His alarm goes off and he looks down and it's a reminder of something. I really encourage you to do this. It's a really, really cool idea. I'm going to do it. I'm going to set a reminder with my question, I think. So just don't lose sight of that. Oh, I hate it when it makes that noise. It's so annoying. I thought this was interesting. Amy Lee put this up about sometime. I talked yesterday about people who, you know, run, they're doing a marathon and they run halfway to the first refreshment stand, turn around and go back to the starting gate, run halfway to the first refreshment stand and turn around and go back to the starting gate, you know, and by the end of the day, they've actually put in more effort and expended more energy than the people at the finish line enjoying Krispy Kreme donuts, which, believe me, never tasted so good, and getting a medal and having their picture taken and their family cheering for them. The people back at the starting gate have actually put in more work. Okay, so we talked about that yesterday, and she took kind of a new twist on it. She's like, sometimes you think you're at the starting gate, but you're not. You're at a refreshment station. And maybe you've made a little more progress than you even realized. So I thought that that was kind of a fresh little take on that and worth sharing. Now, this is an amazing testimony. Guys, if God does something epic and awesome in your life during this class, please, would you please come and tell us about it, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, but also by the word of our testimony. This is from Millicent Martin-Poole. And she said, I just wanted to share what happened with me. And I love her honesty. The other day, while Donna discussed vision boards, I decided to update mine during her webinar. I had on my speakerphone. Okay, I know. I was trying to multitask. But as she talked, I decided to walk over to my whiteboard / vision board and pencil in a role I wanted to add to my dream bio. Bible teacher. Shortly after the webinar ended, I checked my email for new messages. Well, wouldn't you know it, I received a job offer letter for an adjunct Bible professor position. Come on, amazing. The presence of God is truly moving in our class. All God wants from us is to be open and obedient to his promptings. Thanks, Donna, for hosting this class. And thank you for sharing that amazing testimony. Come on, how cool is that? I love this stuff. Step one, remember, clarifying your vision. Ask God, hey, God, do me a favor. I'm in the dark over here. What am I supposed to be doing? Help me out. Clarify your vision. And God will do that for you. He's a good father. He's not going to give you a stone. He's going to give you a vision. Amen. Step two is to plan. Put together a plan based on your predetermined priorities. And some of you love that. I mean, you're like, oh, I love planning and I'm writing it down, but then like doing it. That's kind of where that's where we're going today. But I think everybody has that same inclination, because planning on paper isn't scary. It's fun. It's when you like get up and go out, push yourself out there, even if it's just like putting yourself on your treadmill. Now you're taking a risk that you might fail. So that, you know, that's why it's hard to get beyond planning to doing. Yesterday, we talked about creating a measuring system or are we doing that today? This is that moment where my sleep deprivation catches up to me. The step three is create a measuring system to track your progress. And maybe that's actually where we are. I know you guys love me enough, but we're on number seven. What I did was take the seven steps and break them into 21 little micro steps. Most of you have figured that out by now. But number seven micro step is focus on implementation rather than information. See, we are in the post-information age. The information age, I think, ended about 3 years ago. Information is now a commodity. It used to be something valuable, and people would pay for information, and people would develop information products and stuff like that. Information age is really over. We're in the post-information age. We're in the age of the expert now. But the point that I want to make is you could drown in it. It's a deluge. Information is a commodity. It's everywhere. It's the ocean we swim in. There's no end of information. You could pick a topic and sit on the internet from now until the day you die and not run out of articles and videos and audios on that topic. Right? There's no natural ending point. Like, you know, in 1776, if you wanted to know about dentistry, there were two books, and you read those two books, and then you knew all that there was to know about dentistry, right? Not anymore. And you can stay trapped there in paralysis of analysis, and, you know, I'm still learning. And this, I'm going to tell you right now, is procrastination in disguise. It's nothing else. It's nothing but procrastination in disguise. It's a way to kind of fool yourself into thinking, well, I'm doing something. You know, I'm in the planning. I'm in the preparation. I'm doing research. I mean, I'm working on my goals because I'm sitting here on the internet reading. I did this when God told me to, I'll just confess, when God told me that I needed a marathon mentality, I thought, oh, that is great. I love that analogy. You know, let me start thinking about, oh, the race is long. The race is hard. There's a prize at the end. God's like, no. You're not understanding. This went on for months. You're not understanding, child. I want you to like actually run a marathon. I'm like, no. Oh, boy. Okay. So I'll appease God. And I went and bought a couple books about running a marathon. And I sat and read about other people who had done marathons and ideas and strategies that I could use someday if I ran a marathon. And I would lay, this is the true story. I would lay in bed at night in my PJs under my cozy comforter reading the books about marathons. And that went on for quite some time. And I sensed God like, no, child, you, like one foot in front of the other. I'm like, oh. So then I went and bought sneakers and the outfit. I had, oh, and it was really, really cute outfit. So I had the outfits and the book and the sneakers. I still hadn't walked around the block. No kidding you. Finally, at some point, it was 2-3 months. Finally, I went and hired a coach. And I hired the coach and he kicked my butt and I ran the marathon. So, as I always say, never kid a kidder. I get it. We're all the same. I do the same thing. It's just procrastination in disguise. See, now that you have your focus, I can predict what's going to happen next. You're going to be tempted to gather information. And that's okay. Little information is all right. But the truth is, you probably already know a very simple strategy. You know, all of running is just falling forward, honestly. You know, after one book on it, I had the idea. And then I had a coach. So what you're really doing is avoiding the hard emotional work involved with putting yourself out there and taking your best shot at it. Instead, you just gather more information and then more information. And you could just, as I said, because of where we are with technology, there's no limit to the number of hours that you can spend in what we call the ready stage. There's ready, aim, fire. I mean, I watch it. I see people in my classes. They've been on the ready, the preparation stage for like 10 years. I don't want that for you. Ready, aim, fire. A little bit of ready is good. A little bit of aim is good, but then fire. See what works, see what doesn't. Re-aim. Fire. See what works, see what doesn't. Re-aim. Fire. You know, we learn more, honestly, I think we learn more by doing. Because, you know, we're in our head and with the theory and the planning. There's nothing like getting out there and finding out, you know, if I run on the pavement, I get blisters. If I run on the dirt, not so much. Real world experience. Interacting with people. You know, I always say I get along great, you know, I'm in my prayer room and, you know, me and God, and I'm reading these great Christian books and Bibles, and I everything is great. It's like everything is glorious. And then I have to go and deal with people. And that's where you really learn and apply, right? And develop. Makes sense. So my message today is that an ounce or an inch of implementation is worth more than a pound of gathering more information. It's better to pick one aspect of your project and fully implement it. You want to write a book? You don't need to take 20 classes, right? Oh, I want to write a book. I'm going to go take a class on it. No, just make an outline and start writing. Just get going. Rather than reading enough books to fill a library and then searching enough websites to single-handedly keep Google busy, back to basics. The simplest solution is usually the best one. Back to basics. That's what God said this year. Back to basics. If your goal is to lose weight, put on some sneakers, take a walk around the block. That's it. You don't have to spend hours searching the internet and going to Barnes & Noble and get 3 weight loss and fitness books and eat less, exercise more, eat God's food, not man's food. I mean, it's simple. And then I think the big thing you need is a coach. You need an expert. You need someone to hold you accountable. That's the shift that's taken place. away from information to expert. You need a coach and an expert. You need someone to take you by the hand and help you do what you already know you need to do. Number eight is to break the plans into projects to tackle and habits to develop. I want to see if I can make this clear because I don't know if it is in the workbook. Some of you, you need to pick a specific project that you're going to work on. Whether it's, again, the example I give in the book is, your project is writing a book. But writing that book probably involves some new habits, right? Specifically, the habit of maybe setting aside an hour a day where you try to write half a page. So I want you to kind of look at, what is this project? What is some aspect of your goal for the year that you could make into a smaller project? And then think about, what are some of the habits that I'm going to need in my daily routine to get this project done? Because when I get this project done, it's going to move me closer to my goal for the year. What we're doing here is we're just breaking it down from the vision for the year to a project that you could accomplish in 21 days. Okay, now break that down further. What habits do I need each day that are going to empower me to get that done in 21 days? So that next month I can tackle another part of the project. And then the next month I can tackle another part of the project. And all of that will enable me to live my best year ever. Does that make sense? We're just breaking it down. So take a look at your focus item, your number one SMART goal, and say, is this a one-time project to complete? Or does it represent a new habit you'd like to incorporate? And typically, any project involves new habits. Let me put it that way. Example, your SMART goal might be to lose 20 pounds in 90 days. That's a project. But clearly, you're going to be developing new habits and carry those forward as a permanent healthy lifestyle. This is where people miss it with weight loss. They're like, okay, well, I'm going to have someone ship meals to me and I'm going to eat those and I'll lose weight and problem solved. No, it doesn't work that way. Have you figured it out? You have to develop new habits. And in most cases, stick with them for life. If you start writing an hour a day and great things are happening, keep writing an hour a day. So I'd like you to take a minute, if you haven't done this yet, what's the project that you want to tackle during these 21 days or so? If your 21 days starts today or next week, it doesn't matter to me. There's nothing, you decide. But what's a project that you can take on during 21 days that if you get that project done, a lot of you talk, declutter. If you're overweight and you have a lot of clutter, I'd start with the clutter. I would take 21 days and deal with the clutter. And make a plan. Day one, I'm going to declutter this. Day two, I'm going to declutter that and start with the big stuff. Just an example. But what's something you can get done? I really think you should do this. It's going to give you a lot of momentum going out of this class into the month of February. Now make note of the habits that are going to be required to accomplish it. Maybe you have the habit, I'm going to get up an hour earlier and have my quiet time. And then as soon as everybody leaves the house, I'm going to get fully dressed, down to sneakers, outfit. So if I drop something while I'm decluttering, I don't break my foot and get going. I'm going to set an alarm at the top of every hour or for 5 minutes at the top of every hour, I'm going to declutter. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up. I'm giving you ideas. I did this for a while. I have something called the Pomodoro app. It's really powerful. You can look it up or use the tomatotimer.com, tomato-timer.com. And there's actual research behind this that if you work for 25 minutes and then take a 5 minute break, work 25 minutes and take a 5 minute break, and during that 5 minute break, get up and walk away from whatever you're doing, that your concentration level, your effectiveness, your productivity will go through the roof. And I've had periods of my life, and I want to get back to this, where I really committed to, okay, for 21 days, I'm really going to use my Pomodoro app, and I'm going to do 8 Pomodoros a day. So that's 4 hours of really super focused work. And what I would do is for 25 minutes, let's say I'm working on writing a new book. So for 25 minutes, I just focus on writing and that only. Not writing and checking email, writing and doing Facebook, writing and, you know, talking to my kids. No. You set the Pomodoro for 25 minutes. And during that 25 minutes, you do one thing and one thing only. That habit alone would change your life. Just using that Pomodoro app. I'm serious. And forcing yourself not to multitask. Mm-hmm. Now, multitasking worked out pretty well for Millicent, so once in a while there's a place for it. But you know what I'm saying. Disciplining yourself to focus. Focus, focus, focus. Because most of us are like, we start working on something, then, oh, I got an invite for Words with Friends. Oh, da, 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 da. We're working, working. Oh, I've got an instant message over here. Oh, working, working, working. Oh, here's a text over there. Squirrel, squirrel, right? And then during those 5 minutes, the break, I would get up and jump on my trampoline. Then I would get up on the next 5 minutes and play with my stretch bands. I would get up on the next 5 minutes and have a healthy snack. During those 5 minutes, I would get up and do something physical. So maybe some of you could do that. Others of you, during those 5 minutes, I'm going to get up and I'm going to declutter. Just for 5 minutes. Just for 5 minutes. Others of you, there might be something, you know, just take one Pomodoro a day. Can you do 25 minutes a day towards your dream? If you're an artist, take two Pomodoros. Say, I'm going to set it for 25 minutes. I'm going to focus on my art, focus on my music, focus on my writing, focus on my ministry, my business, whatever it is that you're doing. 5 minute break, I'm going to go do jumping jacks or whatever. And then 25 more minutes, an hour a day. There you go. It works really, really well. Some of you are just going to absolutely love this tool and develop the habit. That's all it is developing new habits. And I gave you the example of my writing, and that's in the book. And this is really my top secret weapon here. Having a measuring tool to monitor forward progress. This is my secret. Again, I'm not smarter than anybody else. I'm diligent because I've developed the habit of diligence. I don't think I've got, you know, much more talent than anybody else. I'm like everybody. I get out of bed. I got my pajamas on. I got my, you know, Jacksonville Jaguars socks, whatever, just like anybody else. But one thing I do is I chart my course and then I measure my progress. And I give you a bunch of ideas in the book. I don't want to, you know, spend a lot of time on this, but you can break it into a blocks on a poster board. Those of you who are like, I'm not high tech. Okay, get a poster board. Draw in big blocks, and then each time you've got 21 blocks on a poster board, and each time you finish one section of your project or each day that you're faithful to do your one Pomodoro or your two Pomodoro or your four Pomodoro or whatever, fill in the block. This is a great way to track your activities. I like it. And to me, seeing your progress and you have your reward at the end of the path, right? And it just motivates you. We did this. My daughter wanted a miniature donkey when she was, I think, 12 years old. And we made a great big poster board like that. And every day that she did her chores, she had a list a mile long. We lived on a farm. She got it done. She came in, filled in the block. She was closer and closer to the day that she went and picked up her little miniature donkey. And you can do this for yourself. I like it. It's old school. But hey, it's visual. For me, I'm a visual learner. It works. Some of you like the computer. You can outline your project on a Word document. And then as each item is completed, you can either delete it. I don't like deleting because then I can't see how accomplished I am. I like to highlight it so that the page becomes brighter and brighter. And I've done a lot of my books like this. I think most of my books I've done this way. I'll have the outline in great, great detail, right down to, you know, subchapters in the chapters. And then I'll just wake up and look at the list. I'll print it out, okay, and say, well, what am I feeling today? I don't write the book in order. I'm like, what am I feeling today? Oh, you know, I'm kind of feeling that little topic over there. I think I'll go take an hour and just play around with that and see what comes. And then when I get that done, I highlight it. This is just a really super cool way. Simple. Doesn't have to be complicated. stickies on a Mac. I was doing that for a while. I don't know. That was fun. I would type out what I needed to do. And then, again, you could, then I would just delete it. And then the less texts that are on the sticky, the more progress you're making. I did that for a while. Google Documents, and especially now Google Forms. You create a Google Form. And this is a really cool tool. I'm using this right now for one of my projects. You custom design a form, takes you about 5 minutes. It's so easy to do. And then at the end of each day, you fill out the form and you hit submit, and Google Form creates a spreadsheet for you. And then you have a spreadsheet that tracks all of your activity in the areas based on what you submitted into the form. And it's really pretty cool. So some of you who like to be on the computer might want to check that. And maybe others of you, there are all kinds of smartphone apps. I guess because I'm blind, I don't do a lot with my smartphone. I can't, other than answer it and maybe send texts. I don't know. But I'm sure there are a million smartphone apps that you could use to track your progress on something. So some of you can put up ideas in the Facebook group on that. Me, my favorite right now, and as I just told you, it varies at different times. I'm really into different things. Right now, I'm obsessed with my whiteboard because, again, I'm really visual. I want to give a disclaimer and a reminder, no more than 3 goals, okay? And if you haven't, you know who you are. If you have a track record of giving up on your resolutions, I strongly encourage you to pick just one. I'm not going to come to your house and double check on you, but I'm telling you in love. You might be better off picking just one and really going after that thing. Seriously, because the human mind can play tricks on you. You can say, well, you know, I'm not working on that because I'm doing something else. Really? What is the something else? Well, just some other thing right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. No more than 3. Strongly encourage you to just pick one. I'm going to show you my example. I'm really good at goal getting, so I've got 3. But letting you know, if you're just getting started, probably better with one. Okay, there was the disclaimer. So this is my whiteboard. This is just what it looks like. I've got 4 columns, today, this week, current month, and top 3 annual. Okay, and I do this on Sundays. I wipe my whiteboard clean, and I begin on the far right with my top 3 annual goals. Now, my number 1 goal for this year is to be on fire for God. Well, that's going to look like something. That's kind of vague. So what that means is that I'm getting out of bed. My goal is 6 a.m. Okay, 6 a.m. and spend the first 2 hours with God in a quiet time. And I have that further broken down into same things that looks like. And I track those activities. Okay, so it's prayer, it's scripture reading, it's a devotional that I'm working on. A lot of times I'm reading one of my own devotionals, so I'm keeping track with what my students are doing. I spend time in prayer, you know, so that looks like something. But I remind myself, okay, what is my number 1 goal this year? Do this. If you do nothing else but this, every Sunday, take a whiteboard or take a piece of paper or a smartphone app or whatever you're using and remind yourself, okay, what are my top 3 goals today for this year? I want to be on fire for God. Number 2, I want to be fit. And I have a specific weight goal that I'm working towards, right? And then number 3, I want to be financially free. And again, I have a specific income goal for the year. And I know what those are. And not only do I do this every Sunday on my whiteboard, every day during my quiet time, as I make my list for the day, and I do paper, again, old school, I write it every day. I write it every day. Every day, the first thing I do when I take out a piece of paper is write my top 3 goals for the year. I want to be on fire, fit, and financially free. I want to be on fire, fit, and financially free. In 2016, I resolved to be on fire, fit, and financially free. In 2016, I resolved to be, or whatever the year is, because this is going to live on in perpetuity. This year, I resolved to be on fire, fit, and financially free. And just every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Are you seeing how this works? Is that complicated? Is that difficult? Is that time consuming? Takes me about a nanosecond. Somebody could time it. How long did it take me to say that? That's about how long it takes me to write that. But I do it first thing every day. If you just made this one new habit, this one change every day, the first thing you do, you got your quiet time, you're getting ready to meet with God. I usually do my Bible study and stuff first and then take out a piece of paper. The first thing, when I get a piece of paper in front of me and a pen, the first thing that's going down on that page is this year I resolve to be on fire, fit, and financially free. That's it. Do you think he could do that? Does that sound doable? And then I break it down into the current month. And again, I do this every week. So I'll usually take a screenshot of the prior week to make it easy for me. So the current month. Okay, it's January. I'm hoping to do a 10-day fast. I want to hire a personal trainer to help me tone my flabby arms because I did a triathlon and I still had flabby arms. Oh my God, what is up with that? Okay. And then number three is to launch a new class on January 4th. How many of you know I've accomplished that one? Yay. So that I break it into, okay, if I want to be there by the end of this year, what do I need to do this month? I need to be on fire for God. I believe you guys know I'm passionate about fasting. I mean, fasting breaks the chains. Fasting breaks the chains. I'm all about it. So I'd like to do it. I wish I could do a 21-day fast. But blah, blah, blah. You got the idea. So you look at your three annual goals. And some of you, really, how many? Just one. Right? One, two, or three. No more. If I come to your house, you invite me over and I see 20 goals over there, I might go all Jersey girl on you. You don't want that, right? Then the next thing, what do I need to do this week? Okay, I'm going to have to buy some juices for the fasting. I need to find a fasting accountability partner. I'm attending an online Christian conference. I started that yesterday. It was really good. And then I want to lose 1 pound this month. And, you know, my goal is maybe 1 pound a month, right? Because I'm fairly close to where I want to be. And I want to conduct 2 webinars. And I think I've actually already done that. Okay. So what do I need to do this week to accomplish these goals for this month, to accomplish these goals for this year? And then what do I need to do today? Okay. Today I need to get my little buns and gear and go to the grocery store, get some juices. I need to call some potential accountability partners, and I need to finish the keynote for my next upcoming webinar. Do you see how this is? And then every night before I go to bed, I erase the today, and I'll put the day. So it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. I update that so that here's the big thing. Your goal is ever before you. Do you see how different this is? First of all, it's simple, but how different it is from on New Year's Eve, you write some resolutions on a piece of paper and then that's it, you're done. If you're still doing this every Sunday in August and September and October, how different is your year going to be? And how long does this take you? Maybe 15 minutes on Sunday and no more than 5 minutes a day. It just keeps you focused on where you're supposed to be going. That was it for day 5. We're moving into day 6. Reminder, there are no live sessions on the weekends, but you have assignments in your course workbook and people will be in the Facebook group. So keep on going, but I'll go ahead and cover day 6 today. And then on Monday, I'll cover day 7 and day 8. So Fridays and Mondays will be kind of our little bit busier day, a lot more material to cover. Okay, so then step four is to establish accountability. And I really want to say something here. You need to have 4 different people in your life. You need to have cheerleaders. And I've been saying things like you need people in your life who will tell you the truth, and you need to ask people, what am I not seeing, and have people be honest with you. But we need to be well balanced. And I'm going to tell you right now, you don't need 5 million people telling you what you're not seeing. You need a lot more. You need people who just cheer you on, who don't point out anything at all that's wrong with you. You need people who just, yay, you're amazing. Even if you fall short, they're like, hey, that's okay. Don't worry about it. I just really felt as I was getting ready this morning, I was making my spinach drink and God's like, Donna, bring this into balance. If everyone in your life is hypercritical and telling you everything that's wrong with you and all the things that you need to change and all the things that you need to fix, that's not healthy either. That's not healthy either at all. I mean, that means something. That either means you're from New Jersey, Just kidding. It means maybe you need to bring some new, more positive people. Not that you don't love them, because it could even be your family. Yeah. Could even be people that you live with. They're hypercritical. And you're thinking, Donna, I don't think I need anybody else to tell me what's wrong with me, because I'm living with someone who 24/7 for about the last 30 years has been doing a pretty good job of keeping me informed of all my faults. So we really need to come into balance right now. Okay. And I actually want to pray for that one. So God, I want to pray for that person right now who is even living. You're living with that person who is just an absolute expert on everything that's wrong with you. And when you heard me teach that, you're like, girl, that's pretty much the last thing I need. Where's the exit? Get me out of here. This woman's crazy. I just want to pray for that one right now. That you would speak peace. And that you would give them power to begin shifting the spiritual atmosphere in their home. And that's beyond the scope of this class. But it's something God can do and will do and wants to do in your life. That person may never change, but there's a place in God where the atmosphere can begin to shift. And you can do that. You can do that. But right now, I want to pray for that one, Lord, that you would send a cheerleader. Send a person who just, you know, that person, that sanguine person who just has no clue that there's anything wrong with anyone or anything. That person whose core question is, oh, who can I love today? And whose core question is, why is everyone so wonderful? Why is life so great? Who can I bless and encourage today? Yeah. I pray that you would send them a cheerleader. I pray that you would send someone who just wants to bless them and see the good in them. We all need that. We all need that. Someone who's just like, you know, go you. Great job. Look at you. You're trying. Hey, you ran one day this week. Okay, your goal was to run 7 days, but you ran one day. Yay. God, would you send a cheerleader their way? Would you do that today? I ask that in Jesus' name. And just be near, God. Just because that's like breaks your heart when you're living like that. Would you be near to the brokenhearted? I'm going to make a recommendation, and I know some people don't like them. Honestly, if you're living in that environment, you need some Joel Osteen, for real. People get upset with him, but the Bible says if someone's gift is encouraging, let him encourage. That's his gift. He doesn't claim to be a Bible scholar or a theologian. And, you know, do I agree with everything he says? Probably not. I don't agree with everything I say, and I say it myself. His gift is encouragement, and he's, like, very encouraging. So it might do you a world of good. There have been seasons in my life where the first thing I'm like, I roll out of bed, I'm like, I'm putting my Joel podcast on every day because I'm going through a tough season, and I just need to be encouraged. Just need a little dose of encouragement. So that's for somebody right there. That wasn't planned. Need a cheerleader. Who is the cheerleader in your life? And if you don't have one, get one. Because there's some bubbly person in every church, in every community. I just got to find him. Might even be a young person. Maybe you could develop a relationship with some positive, happy young person, and you do something for them and they just bring cheer and goodness into your life. Think about that. You need an accountability partner. You know, that's someone who spurs you on. You're like, okay, I want to work on exercising. Well, I want to get my business started, or I want to get my business to the next level, or I want to step out in ministry, and you've got your goals and I've got my goals. And, you know, let's hold each other accountable. I think daily checking in by phone is the ideal. You know, I guess everybody texts and Facebooks. That's fine. At least weekly, but really, I think daily. Just check in. And it doesn't have to be a big, long thing. Just once a day, check in. Hey, how's it going? This is what I did today. And I do this a lot of time. A lot of times I will do this with an instant message or text. Like, these are the three things I'm going to do tomorrow. And then at the end of the day, say, you know, these are the three things I got done today and the three things I'm planning to do tomorrow. And then they text back and say, okay, these are the three things I did today and the three things I'm planning to do tomorrow. And then we check in the next day, how'd it go? How's it going? How you doing? I'm doing great. How you doing? And so your peers, you're just encouraging one another, spurring one another on. You don't both necessarily want to exercise or have the same goals. You just have to be willing to kind of partner up. And this is the part you're not going to like me for. Honestly, I think it needs to be somebody who actually knows you. A lot of times people come into the Facebook groups and like, well, I'll find an accountability partner here in the group. And okay, I just think it'd be better if it was someone who really knows you. That's just my take on it. Up to you. Do whatever makes you happy. I think the better they know you, the better this will work. Because they know your tendencies, your idiosyncrasies. They know where you're going to head for the exits. They've got your number. And maybe we'll do a better job of holding you accountable. But whatever makes you happy. So think about that. Who could be your accountability partner as you work toward your number one SMART goal? As I said, phone is okay, but so are shared worksheets. You can create a shared Google Doc, a shared Google form, and those work really well. Again, that's something I've done. I've had accountability partners. I had my worksheet. She had her worksheet, and we could watch each other. How you doing? How are you progressing on it? And what we did was colors. So each day that we accomplished a specific goal, we colored it in. And just with a glance, if you didn't get it done, you colored the box black. If you did get it done, you know, maybe if it was in the area of fitness, you colored it blue, whatever. We had a color code because we're women. And just with one glance, if my partner's whole worksheet in Google is black, things aren't going real well. And it's just a way of holding each other accountable. And then you also need a mentor. I know this is harder to find, but the key is for you to be willing to give something to them, right? What can you offer them? That would be the first thing that I would ask myself. This person is above the level of success that you desire, whether that success is spiritual, relational, financial, personal. Usually, my observation, successful people tend to be successful in a lot of areas. People who are successful spiritually tend to have, not always, success in other areas. People who have successful relationships tend to have success in other areas. Because success is a habit. It's a way of showing up. A great place to look for a mentor, again, your local church, business networking, Toastmasters. It should be someone that you can meet face-to-face. This one I really am going to insist on. I think a mentor needs to be face-to-face. And maybe you just get together once a week and you buy the dinner. You know, you buy the coffee. How can you serve that person, right? Because this is a successful, busy person and it needs to be a two-way street. So you need to really pray about that. Lord, who is where I want to be? In other words, if you want to be in ministry and you want to be a speaker, Joyce Meyer's not going to be your mentor. But there's someone who's a little further along than you are. If you've never had an out-of-state speaking ministry and there's a woman who's speaking out of state every month, she might not have her own television show, but she could mentor you because she's above where you are right now. Does that make sense? I had a mentor. I remember my first 5K. I was teaching a Bible study in the mountains in Arizona. And one of my students was crazy fit. That woman, I mean, she was just solid muscle. I'm like, girl, what is up? She's like, well, my husband is an ultra marathoner. And so I do a lot of running with him and I'm really into it. And so she's coming and I'm teaching her the Bible, right? We're doing one of my book studies. And I'm like, could you help me? I'm wanting to do a 5K. It was for my 40th birthday. I wanted to do a little 5K. And she's like, yeah, sure. You know, and so she was like an expert on all this jazz. And I would meet her, I think 4 days a week, whatever. We would meet at a lake that was near both of our houses. And she would talk to me about running and give me tips on nutrition as we ran around the lake X number of times. First, we ran around it once. Then we ran around it twice. And she wasn't a paid coach. She wasn't a professional. But because her husband was pretty much professional, she had a lot of insight and expertise. And she was able to mentor me. And I was sowing into her life by teaching her the Bible. And then she was sowing back into mine. It was a two-way relationship and it worked really well. Neat lady. That's what I'm talking about. So think not just about who you want to invest into your life. You've got to be thinking, okay, what can I invest in their life? I'll tell you, a lot of busy people, really successful people, if they've still got young children, they need babysitters. Because they know their marriage. If their marriage blows up, it's going to affect every area of their life. So they need to have a date night. So you say, you know what? I'll babysit your kids, or I'll take your kids to this sporting event, or I'll take care of the kids. I'll clean your house. I'll do whatever for you. If once a week you'll give me a half hour of your time and just mentor me and let me sit and learn from you. Just thinking aloud, just giving you ideas. Obviously, if they're a total stranger, you can't offer to babysit their kids. But I'm talking maybe somebody at your church that they kind of know you and you know them. Who can you ask to mentor you as you pursue your goal? Again, this is someone, they're a few steps ahead of you. You know, Donald Trump isn't going to be your mentor. But that's okay because there are a lot of very successful business people who would mentor you. And then your coach. Now, this is a paid professional, and more people are recognizing because of the complexity, because of the deluge of information, and nobody has time to sort through all of it, and it's contradictory. This is a paid professional who can bring an objective perspective and empower you to reach your goals. I'm your coach. I guess that's why I had the coach purse. This is interesting. Your coach is not your friend. And don't expect a friend to be your coach. Your coach is paid to help you get from where you are now to where you say you want to be. I'm your coach. I'm not your friend. I mean, I love you. You're wonderful. But we're not friends. Don't email me. Don't send me messages on Facebook. I remind you guys so many times, and some of you, I love you. You're still slipping over there. Okay, I can't be friends with thousands of people. I know because I found out. I probably spent the first 20 years of my ministry, you know, thinking, well, I got to be everybody's friends. I can remember I used to spend 8 hours a day just doing nothing else. I was in my 30s. 8 hours a day, I would just sit and answer email. So someone would, I read your book. I loved your book. And I'd write back, oh, thank you for loving my book. Then they're like, Donald Parto wrote to me personally. So they write back. thank you for thanking me, for thanking you. And then I'm like, oh, rats, this person wrote me back. If I don't write back to them, their feelings are going to be hurt. So then I'd write back, well, thank you for thanking me, for thanking you, for thanking me. And then they're like, oh, Donald Parto wrote back to me. We're pen pals now. And then they'd write back again and start telling me their life story. And then next thing you know, I had like 1,000 people who I was pen pals with. I'm not even kidding you. It's just crazy. So your coach is not your friend. And if they have boundaries, they'll never, you know, become your pen pal in the first place. And don't expect a friend to be your coach. They're not paid to do that. They're not paid to do that. So I hope that this balanced out. So who is that person in this mix that can tell you what you're not saying? It's definitely not going to be your cheerleader. That's not their role. So don't ask that person, what am I not saying? Maybe it could be your accountability partner. Maybe it could be your accountability partner. Because I said, you know, that's somebody who should know you pretty well. I think that's probably the best person for you to ask, what am I not seeing? And I think you need to be intentional about that. Your mentor, maybe, but they're probably not going to be close enough to you to see you on a daily basis and see what you're up to. But maybe a little bit you could ask that. Are you seeing anything in me that might be hindering me from getting from where I am now to where you are? That might be a good question to ask them. And definitely your coach. Definitely your coach. So what are you seeing in me? How am I showing up? This could be a good person to ask that. But again, you only want one or two people, just a couple, that know you pretty well and are able to observe your behavior and your patterns. that you're asking this question. You don't want the whole world. And I felt it was really important to camp out at this. You don't want the whole world pointing out what's wrong with you. And if you have a lot of that, I really feel like there's a couple things. One is that you could be just in a really toxic environment of negative people. And I know that that's true for some of you. But for others, there might even be something spiritual going on there. It's really beyond the scope of this class. But if everyone knows your faults and is in a big hurry to point them out, and you have the other side of this equation, which is, you know, you're very aware of all your faults to the point that it's a torment. See, a healthy self-awareness is good. We need to know our strengths and our weaknesses. An accurate assessment of ourselves. That's healthy. The Bible says that man ought to examine himself. Some reflection. This is where I'm weak and I need God to be strong. This is where I'm weak and I need other people to hold me accountable. That's healthy. That's good. That's how we grow. But if you are aware of all of your weaknesses and faults to the point that it's a torment to you, to the point that it immobilizes you, then there's something spiritual going on. And I think I'm going to stop right here and pray on that one too. It's like a, I want to be careful how I say this, like a spirit of fault finding. It's like a spirit of fault finding. And so if you notice what's wrong with everybody and you notice what's wrong with yourself, and at the same time, a lot of people are critical of you. If that dynamic is happening in your life, people are pointing out your faults, noticing your faults, and you're like, wow, Susie Schmoozy does crazy things and no one says anything. Does this make sense? This is for someone really specific. There's something spiritual happening there. And so God, I just pray for wisdom and revelation. I know this is really deep stuff and maybe beyond the scope of a goal setting class, but I think it's really important. God, that you would reveal to your children, if there is some way in which a critical spirit or a fault-finding spirit has gained ground and gained traction in their life, Lord, that you would begin to expose the work of the enemy there. Because we do not want to be ignorant of his schemes. Lord, we want to be healthy and well-balanced in all of this because we are children, we are your children. You love us dearly. You created us with enormous potential and gifts. You created us to live and to live abundantly. You created us to prosper and to make a difference in this world. You did not create your children to be an emotional punching bag. Or to live in toxic environments. So God, I just ask, and I know it's way beyond the scope of this class, but it's not beyond the scope of the Holy Spirit, that you would begin to do a work. And I just pray for that one, Lord, that you would begin to show them the root. And if what I said just described you need to be in the special blessings prayer class, and that's perpetual. You can sign up anytime and work through that at your own pace. I would definitely do the special blessings prayer class. Look at the Beyond Breakthrough class, the Power of God class, all of those classes, and they'll really help you because I can't dig much deeper into it right now. Fact, we are out of time. Who coaches you? I do. I do. Maybe have some other coaches. And then I think we're wrapping it up here. You know, don't hide from hard questions or painful truths. The role of accountability is essential to empowering you to make this your best year ever and to helping you become the woman or the man that God would have you be. But it's not going to work if you refuse to give anyone permission. Don't give the whole world permission to ask you hard questions, right? But a couple people. And again, don't run for the exit. If you run for the exit, anytime you hear something that hurts your feelings, it's not going to work. The truth will set you free, but first it's going to hurt your feelings, right? So you need someone who speaks some truth to you. But it should be someone who loves you and cares about you. And where's their heart? If their heart is to help you become the person God wants you to be, then that's healthy. if their heart is to just beat you down, then no, you don't need that. You don't need that person. Okay? Speaking into your life. Where's their heart? What's their motive? And we need balance. You give the whole world permission to waltz into your life. And I didn't have boundaries, again, because of what happened in my childhood. I had terrible boundaries. And I would just let anybody waltz into my life and tell me everything that was wrong with me and all the areas that they think I need to change and all the stuff I could do better. And it's like, oh my gosh, you could have a nervous breakdown in a week. Be well balanced. And the Holy Spirit can give us that balance. What hard questions do you need someone who loves you, someone who cares about you, someone who is committed to your growth, someone who is committed to seeing you become the person God would have you be, that person? What hard questions do you need someone who's really in tune with God to ask you on a routine basis? Make a list, maybe just one or two. And then give it to someone with full permission that you trust, that you respect, someone who has your best interest at heart. Give them permission to ask you it at any time and be committed to giving them an honest answer. Accountability only works if you commit to honesty and perseverance. You need both. If you're not honest, that's not going to work. If you walk away when you stumble and run away and hide, that's not going to work. Because you were never really open to accountability in your heart. And I think maybe for some of us, the reason we're not open to it is because all of the people who've told us what was wrong with us in the past were people, you know, with critical spirits, and they didn't have the right heart. And now we're like, oh, I'm scared of that. No, you're scared of someone with a wrong heart motive asking you tough questions. But someone who is for you, there's nothing to be afraid of. They're for you, just like God is for you. God is for you. So make sure that person is for you and isn't in the business of beating you down for, you know, fun and entertainment or because they can't help themselves, because they're so beat up themselves. I really hope that I brought this into a balance, because I felt strongly that I needed to. So commit now, show up every day, report honestly, and stay the course through to completion. That's how accountability works. And that's why it's good to have like 21 days. That's a really good, you don't want to ask someone, will you be my accountability partner until Jesus comes back? It's just too wide open. But could you find someone, say, hey, would you be my accountability partner for 21 days? And see how that goes. And then maybe have someone else lined up to be your accountability partner for the next 21 days. And then go back to the first partner and say, hey, you know, that worked really well in January. Would you like to try it again in March? Maybe every other month you switch back and forth between accountability partners. You got a couple different people that you're working. This is how I do it. I have a few different women in my life, and I'll be like, okay, you want to be my accountability partner for this month? Yeah. Okay, great. And then next month I'll find somebody else. Say, hey, you want to partner together? Yeah, let's do it. Fine. Does this make sense? Okay, let's pray. So Lord, I just thank you so much for the love that you have for your children, and you are for them. You are for them. You're not sitting up in heaven thinking about all that's wrong with your children. You love them. You love them. And I pray that you would open their hearts to the idea that you bring correction because you love us. David said, you know, the good shepherd, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. The rod is what the shepherd used to beat up the wolves and other scary things that came to hurt the sheep. So if there's someone who's really attacking you and intending harm, the shepherd's got a rod. He could deal with that. But then his staff is to make sure you're on the right track, going in the right direction. And God is lovingly leading you beside still waters. He wants a life that works, a life where you're at peace in your soul at rest. And once you've got your soul at rest, you'll have so much energy to be a body in motion. That's what God wants for you. And I pray for everyone right now that they would just rest securely in the loving arms of the shepherd, and that they would open their hearts to correction, loving correction, godly correction from you, God, coming to you and allowing you through Holy Spirit to speak directly to them. And then also that they would open their heart to the possibility that there really are people who love them enough to tell them the truth. And that their only motive, they have someone somewhere in their life whose only motive is love, and to see them become the person that they're capable of being, and that they would open their heart to that possibility and begin to watch and to begin to ask a question. Where is that person? How can I find that person? Show me that person, God, because everybody has somebody somewhere that would play that role. God, we love you so much and we thank you for this day. Amen. Let me go ahead and end the recording. And if anybody has comments, I know I ran late today, but I had to cover 2 days. If anybody has comments, you can raise your hand. And we'd love to hear from you. Did this help you? Did this make sense? Was this for somebody? Is that Alita? Alita? Yeah.
Yes, it's Alita.
Alita? Beautiful.
Yes. Hi. I just wanted to share that this is just, today's message is very timely for me because I've been praying for years for mentorship and like coach, and because like early on in my walk with God, he showed me, you know, started to show me what my purpose was and what he's calling me to do, but I had no idea or direction to do that. So I started praying for mentorship. And just, well, maybe last month, I reached out to someone. And just yesterday, she lost my email. She didn't see it, and she found it in, like, a random folder in her email. And she found it to me and agreed to mentor me.
Wow.
And we're going to meet the first time this year.
Wow.
And I feel like all the different components, like the cheerleader, the accountability, and now the mentor coach, is just all in place.
Wow. I love it. Just so happened randomly, coincidentally, to find it the day before God equipped you to understand what your role in the mentoring is, to be making sure that you're giving back in some way to her and ask her, what is some way that I can invest in your life? How can I serve you? You're going to invest in my life. How can I invest in yours? How can I serve you? I'll wash your car. I'll do your dishes. I'll change your kid's dirty diaper. I want to serve you. Let me know. I don't want this to be a one-way thing. Amen? Does that make some sense?
Yes, it does.
Oh, yeah. Hey, God is on the mission. Let me pray for you. So God, I thank you. I thank you for this one who has a mighty call on her life. And I thank you that your timing is so perfect. You know, a lot of times we're like, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. And God's like, no, sweetie pie, I love you so much. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to get right to exactly where I need you to be. And once you're exactly where I need you to be and your heart's right and you've got your, you know, you got it all figured out, then I'm going to send the resources. And Alita, you are just the perfect example. And I say this all the time. Yes, we do wait on God, but a lot of times God's waiting on us. And God was waiting for you to get to this class and to get to this day before he brought the mentor. Why? Because if he didn't, maybe you would not have known, hey, I'm supposed to be giving back to her. And then it would have been a one-way street and she would have burned out and stopped being your mentor. And you'd have been like, why did she stop being my mentor? Right? Yeah. See, God's, so what feels like rejection is often protection. So God was, she lost that email not because she was rejecting you. She lost that email. Hello, God, Holy Spirit. Couldn't find that email because God was protecting you from blowing this. Amen? Does that make complete sense? Now that you know how to successfully show up in this mentoring protege relationship, God's like, okay, now she's got it. Now she's ready. Here's the mentor. Here's the mentor. You're ready? I hate to quote some heathen person said that when the student is ready, the teacher arrives. But I have to say, really, really is pretty true right now. You're ready. You're ready to have a mentor because of what you learned here today. And now, bam, there's the mentor. Make sure, do me a favor, come on the Facebook group and type out that testimony. I'd really love to have that one for the records. Thank you. God bless you. Let me see if there's a couple others. That was amazing. These are so encouraging. These are so encouraging. You guys have no idea if anybody else has a little testimony or question or comment. Looks like everybody's pretty quiet today. If I see anybody, can raise your hands. Hey, we got one more. Here we go. And I see God working in your life too, so that's cool. Marsha, are you still here with us? Maybe not. She may have had to jump off the call. Looks like she's not there. Okay, anybody else scrolling through? Anybody else? Okay, I'm not really seeing anybody else raising their hand. I don't really see anybody else. Okay, we've run late. It's 12:13. Gonna go ahead and wrap there.